Have you ever followed the wrong leader? It can be a devastating experience. I had that happen where it ended up being a really bad thing. It affected not only me personally, it affected a lot of other people. And it can really cost us something when we are following someone we think is the right leader, we hope is the right leader. Then all of a sudden we find out along the way that this is the wrong leader. And sometimes it's too late to make the necessary changes to correct the path of what's happened in the past. Now you still can make those changes, but sometimes there are unintended consequences that last a long time. And so today I want to talk about the right leader, how important it is that we follow the right leader, which is, of course, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 10. Jesus is going to share a parable, and it's got great application for us today. And I don't have a time to get into all of it, but you can't understand John 10 unless you know John chapter 9 and what happens, because that sets up the scene in John chapter 10. And I won't read John 9, but I want to tell you what the story is. Jesus had been in the temple complex, and because of what he said and did, he got thrown out. And so he is walking one day with his disciples, and they see a blind man who has been blind since he's been born. And the disciples ask Jesus, is this man blind because of his sin or his parents' sin? Have you ever had somebody say that you're having these problems or you're having your sickness because their sin? Well, it could be possible that that's true, but most of the time that's not true, right? Most of the time, sickness is not a result of sin. It can be. And what does Jesus say? Is it a result of his sin or his parents' sin? The Jews believed then if you're sick, it's because of sin. And Jesus said neither. Of course, they're all dumbfounded by what he's saying. He has their attention. And he said, this happened so that I can demonstrate the works of my Father. And so, that's what he does. He demonstrates the power and the glory of God by spitting on the ground, making a paste, some mud from the dirt, and he packs it on his eyes, and he tells him to go to the pool of Siloam and to wash, and he'll be healed. And that's what the man does. He's instantly healed, and everybody around the scene says, wait a minute, isn't this the guy that was born blind? What in the world has happened? And so the word gets to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Now here's the point I want to make. Jesus is trying to help the Jewish people understand that they're following the wrong leader. They're following religious people who are leading them down a path that leads to destruction. It's going to be devastating for them if they don't get this right. And he's going to help them understand that he is the right leader. But he uses this miracle to help prove the point. Well, the Pharisees, they bring this guy in front of him, and they say, tell us what happened. He said, well, this man, he does this, and I'm instantly healed. And they say, well, this man's a sinner. That means Jesus. He's just a man. How in the world can he do something like this? Well, they don't believe what he's saying. They think he's lying. So they call his parents in. And they come to the synagogue. And they ask the parents, is this your boy? Yes, it is. Was he born blind? Yes, he was. Is he able to see now? Yes, he is. Well, who did it? We don't know. How did it happen? We don't know. And so they leave. Well, they call the boy back in. They have this man, and they have a second conversation with him. And they ask him again, tell us what happened. He tells them, who did it? This man is a sinner. Great sentence. This man says, whether or not he is a sinner, I don't know. But this one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I can see. And that's the story for every single person in this room. Once we were blind, but now we can see. And Jesus is saying that you are blinded. by these religious people. And the religious people themselves are blinded. But by trusting me and following me as the right leader, that I'm going to help you see. Though you're not blind, you are blind. Well, they continue this conversation. They say, well, wait, this ain't happened. I mean, this man is a sinner. And in my paraphrase, this man says, you guys are nuts. This man can only do this because he's from God. Who else has caused the blind to see? And with that, they throw this man out of the synagogue. And the key to the whole passage in John chapter 9 and setting up John chapter 10. You can't understand John chapter 10 unless you understand John 9 verse 35. When Jesus had heard that they had thrown the man out, he found him. It's one of the greatest sentences in the Bible. You underline that sentence and underline especially, double underline, he found him. How many people have been cast out by the world, have been rejected by the world? How many people have been thrown out? But there's one who found him. There's one who found him. And so this sets up this great parable, John 10. Listen to what Jesus says. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in some other way, the religious system, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all his own, outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Need a sermon for that. Jesus gave them this illustration, this parable, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to kill, steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired man and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. This is the whole point of he went out and found him. There will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I am laying down my life so I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. All right, and let's look at the right leader. You need a leader. You need the right leader, not the wrong leader. You need Jesus Christ. And here's what we see. First of all, notice his leading. In verse 4, he says, he goes ahead of them, the sheep follow him. Now, this is the difference between a rancher and a shepherd. I grew up in Texas, and in cattle ranches, you know, I worked on a dairy farm for 2 years, that whenever we wanted to get the cattle to where they needed to be, the barn or wherever, out to the field, that we would be behind them, we'd be driving the cattle out. That's what a rancher does. He's behind driving the cattle out. But a shepherd, who's a shepherd of sheep or goats, that he's ahead of them. He never drives them. They go everywhere. They're scattered. They don't know where to go, what to do. But the shepherd is ahead of them, and as he goes, they go. They follow. Jesus is not a driver. He's not a rancher. That he's a shepherd. He's not going to force you into anything. He's not going to be driving you from behind. He is out leading ahead of you, which we'll see why is so important. We never walk a path, ever, where Jesus is not already ahead of us. as the shepherd. When times are tough, when it's troubled, when the dust is flying in the air and we can't see what's ahead of us, if we look hard enough in the path right in front of us, we see the step of Jesus Christ leading the way. The only exception to this is the path of sin. He's not ahead on that path. But whenever things are strange and easy, you can see the footprints of Christ. Now notice he says the sheep follow him. The sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd. They have an incredible attachment to the shepherd. They are extremely dependent on him. We just sang this song, I depend on you. We're sheep. We have to depend on the shepherd. So often we try to know something or do something or experience something so that we can get close to Jesus, when just the opposite is true. What we need to do is get close to Jesus and let him lead us to what we need to know and what we need to do and what we need to experience. It's radically different. And be careful who you're listening to about how they're saying you experience God in your life. My job as the sheep is to stay as close to Jesus as my shepherd as I can, and he'll lead me to what I need to know, what I need to do, and what I need to experience in life. This attitude of trust means that Jesus is between you and everything else in your life. He's between you and your circumstances right now. He's between you and your trials. He's between you and your temptations. He's between you and your successes. He's between you and your service to him. Your job is simply to follow him. Follow him. Let him go first. If he doesn't go, we don't go. We wait on him. If the shepherd doesn't go, the sheep don't go. Every step that we take apart from him or in front of him leads to disaster. We may not experience it immediately, but so often there are unintended consequences that follow us when we try to get ahead of Jesus Christ and where he's trying to lead us. Doesn't it make sense? It's just not complicated. He's the shepherd. He leads. We follow him. He leads us to a good place. Notice, secondly, his goodness. Verse 10, I'm the good shepherd. Now, Jesus is making a difference between a bad shepherd and a good shepherd. Now, he's the good shepherd. Now, the word good here doesn't mean kind and caring, though he is, and I'll explain that point in a minute. But it means genuine. He is true. Again, he's making a contrast between the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders, and Jesus being the true, the good, the genuine leader. Notice in verse 5, he calls them strangers. Verse 8, he calls them thieves and robbers. Robbers of what? God's glory. The kings tried to do it. The judges tried to do it. Now the Pharisees are trying to steal only what is of God and belongs to God, and that is his glory. It was about them. It wasn't about God. It was about their system. It wasn't about a relationship with God by faith. Notice, he says in verse 12, the hired man or the hireling. A hired man does the job, but he doesn't care about the sheep. In fact, when the sheep are in trouble, he runs. Our shepherd will never run. He's there to take care of us. When he sees the wolf coming, the hireling runs. Jesus is the good shepherd. So much so that he laid down his life for us. He owns us. And that's why his heart is towards you this morning. Notice also his knowledge in verse 14. I know my own sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me, I know the Father. Now the word know doesn't mean intellectual knowledge. It means experience. It means a personal relationship. The shepherd knows the particulars of every sheep. I wish I could say, as the under-shepherd, that I know everything about all of you. Maybe you say, oh no, Pastor, I don't want you to know that. But I wish I knew more particulars about you. It's impossible for me to know everything about everybody. But Jesus is amazing. As the great shepherd, the good shepherd, he knows everything about you. He has perfect knowledge of you. He knows our past. He knows our failures. He knows our desires, our motives, our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, our fears. He knows things only known to Him and no one else. Yet He still loves us. He's not surprised by any of it. Therefore, we don't have to live a life of pretense. We don't have to try to explain away what we've done or said. We don't have to live a life of shame. He knows you, yet He loves you. You know, we don't want anyone to really know us because we're afraid of being rejected. Jesus knows everything about you, and He will never, ever reject you. He will accept you and love you as you are. He just wants you to know how much He loves you and for you to love Him in return. And that is the essence of the Christian faith. That's the essence of the gospel. That God loves you as a sinner and proved it on the cross and just wants you to love Him in return. And you'll experience true life and eternal life. I know my sheep, and they know me. Notice also His seeking in verse 16, which is the key to the parable. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now what's the fold? Well, that's a four-sided pen where the sheep are placed. And He says, I have other sheep that are not in this pen, not in this fold. So there are two folds. And He explains in verse 3, He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. That's Israel. Those are the Jews. Verse 16, He says, I have other sheep. Those are the Gentiles, which is anybody other than a Jew. You see the word Gentile, anybody other than a Jew. And He's saying, Jewish believers and Gentile believers are in one pen. And that's called the church. And there's one shepherd, Jesus Christ. We sang a minute ago, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. John 14:6. He says these leaders, these false leaders, these religious leaders are telling you that there's another way to God. Or that they're the only way to God. Following their religious system, following their leadership. But they don't care about those outside the fold. I do. All of us have been outside the fold. Israel had a special relationship with God historically. But Jesus is now saying, as Paul did, in fact, much of the New Testament is about how Paul is helping understand that the gospel is for everyone, not just for the Jews. Read the book of Galatians, you'll get an understanding of that. And so the gospel is for everyone. His love is seeking you today to be part of His flock. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. He wants you to be a part of His fold. Notice His conversation, verse 3. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name. Now shepherds would name their sheep, give them names like we do our pets. The good shepherd calls us by names, not just in salvation, but He begins a dialogue spiritually with us that lasts through all of eternity. He talks to us. He encourages us. He comforts us. He teaches us. We recognize His voice, and that's the voice that we follow above all others. He calls us into a relationship so that we can know that voice. We hear His voice amidst all the noise of others saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. I might have shared before, I have three younger sisters, and I remember one scene like it was yesterday. Dad took us up to Ben Franklin, the five and dime store. He'd give us each a nickel or a dime, and we would get something. And it's like going to the dollar store, which nothing costs a dollar. But, you know, you go somewhere, you know, and we would be around, and we would scatter. That day, you know, we could scatter. We'd go to the toy section or wherever. Girls would go to the makeup section, and we're all around the store, and Dad's, getting something to fix the house. And all of a sudden, when it was time to go, he had a very distinct whistle. Not loud, but it was just a lilt of a whistle. The intonation was very distinct. And when that happened, it's like four rats who were conditioned. We just raise our head, and we just go right to him. We knew his whistle. We knew his voice. Other people are talking. We hear other whistles. Well, we didn't even move. We didn't even think about it. But when we heard that whistle, heads were lifted. Read Psalm 3. He lifts our heads. We're able to hear His voice. He's able to help us in our time of need. While He leads, we hear His voice and we follow Him. My question is, are you having a conversation with Jesus today so that you recognize His voice? Notice also His care, verse 27. My sheep hear My voice. I know them and they follow Me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of My hand. God does not choose us into a relationship with Him and then unchoose us. What kind of God is that? No one can snatch us out of His hand. We are safe and secure. Everything comes to an end, but not the good shepherd's sheep. We may wander from Him. We might lose our way. We might even be upset with Him and turn from Him. But He brings us back to Himself. If we're one of His sheep, you know, often I'll have a parent ask me, my child is in a faraway place, and I don't know if they're a Christian or not. I thought they were, but I don't know. Now, I'm not God, and I can't explain all of those situations. Isn't it a hard question? But it's a very, very common. Maybe you're here this morning, you're asking that right now, maybe about a family member or a friend, a coworker. You know, are they really a Christian? Well, it's a very common question. And the Bible teaches us, and this helps us understand, that, and I tell parents, I said, if your child really is a believer, they'll come home. We don't know when, we don't know how, but somehow, some way, they'll come back to the Lord. Now, if they don't know the Lord, then they need to come to the Lord. That means salvation. But they might be saved, but you know, they've just gone to a faraway place, and the Lord will bring them back. Here's the point Jesus makes. He's not going to lose one of His sheep. John 9:35. He got thrown out, and what happened? He went and found Him. He found Him. The Good Shepherd cares for you, and He does for all of eternity. Notice finally His protection. Verse 7, I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. George Smith was a man who lived in England and years ago, and he went to the Middle East. And in that day and time, it's harder now, but in that day and time, it was very common in the Middle East to see a shepherd with his sheep. And so he was very interested and intrigued by what all was going on, and he knew the scripture. And so he asked this shepherd, I want to see your pen where you keep the sheep. And so he took him to a place there in the field where he had some posts, tree limbs or whatever, four walls. And then there was this very small opening. And the shepherd says, now this is where they stay. And he said, so they graze during the day, George said, and then that night they go in to this sheep pen. And he said, that's right. He said, well, how do they stay in there? There's this opening. And the shepherd said, well, I'm the door. And what I do is I lie down at night in that little space. And no sheep, if a sheep has to get out, it goes across my body. And no wolf comes in unless it comes across my body. He said, I'm the door. Now, this shepherd was not a Christian. He didn't understand the language of the New Testament. In fact, he was an Arab. Knew nothing about Christ or the gospel. But what a perfect illustration when Jesus says, I lay down my life for my sheep. In fact, He said that four times in this chapter. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Verse 15, the Father knows Me and I know the Father. I lay down My life for the sheep. Verse 17, this is why the Father loves Me, because I'm laying down My life so that I may take it up again, the resurrection. Verse 18, no one takes it from Me, but I lay it down on My own. The Good Shepherd has laid down His life for you. Well, somebody may say, well, so what, Pastor? So what? Well, let me give you a summary of what Jesus is saying in this great parable. First of all, Jesus will lead you. That means you can follow him. He's the right leader. He's the perfect leader. Secondly, Jesus will be good to you. That means genuine and true. Therefore, you can trust him. Jesus knows you, which means you'll never be rejected. Jesus seeks you. You'll always be loved. You want someone to love you this morning? You just want one person to love you. He seeks you, and he will always love you. Jesus speaks with you, which means you can have a meaningful relationship. You want a relationship today? You can have it with Christ. Jesus cares for you. That means you will never be alone, ever. Jesus will protect you. That means that you can endure to the end. Now, here are a few questions I want to ask you in light of that. Think of who you are leading. Jesus is the right leader, but are you being the right leader? How are you leading? Are you leading like Christ with those that God has put under your care, under your influence? Is it about your glory or his glory? Here's the test. What happens when you don't get recognized? You get upset, you get mad, or can you reframe that and realize it's not about me, it's about God? The last question, who are you following, really? The Bible says you're following one of four: the world, the flesh, the devil, or Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? There might be somebody here this morning, and I want to invite you to come follow Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the right leader that you need for your life. Well, Pastor, how does that happen? It means that you're willing to admit that you're a sinner and to turn from your sin and your way to Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. That means that you're saved from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one day the presence of sin. That your life is no longer about you, but it's about God and his purpose and his way. And that you're willing to follow him, not just pray a prayer. Nobody was saved by praying a prayer in the Bible. But it's by taking up your cross daily and following him. And so today I'm asking you to become one of his sheep. Let him be your shepherd. And when we sing this next song, I want to invite you to come to one of the pastors who were here, and we'll help you as you make that commitment to Christ. You may not know what to say or do, but we do, and we'll help you. There might be some in this room who would say, Pastor, I know the Lord, but I'm not where I should be spiritually. Well, as I said, it's okay. He knows you. He knows what's going on. And he still loves you. He's a God of a second chance. He's a God of mercy. And he's graciously waiting. He's not going to drive you to this. He's going to lead you to it. That means this commitment back to him, to come back home. Maybe you've been in the pig pen. It's time to get in the sheep pen and to come back to the Lord. There might be some that God is leading you to become part of our church family. There's a lot of sheep in God's kingdom. And there are a lot of these sheep pens called the church. This is a local sheep pen, Linwood. And we'd love for you to be a part of our pen, our family, our home. And we would enjoy the opportunity to love you and to help you and encourage you in the Christian life. And for you to be a part of what God is doing in our church and through our church for God's glory and for his purpose. As Jesus said, there are more sheep that need to be brought into the fold. That's what it's all about. There might be others of you that just want to come and pray here at the altar. There's a burden on your heart, and you just need a quiet moment before the Lord, or maybe you want someone to pray for you, with you about that burden, then you let us know and we'll do that. Father, how can we say thank you? How can we express the gratitude of our heart for the way in which you have loved us? How you've laid your life down and allowed us to be part of your family. And to know, Lord, that as we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to you, that you will lead us the right way to the right place forever. Help these who need to make commitments now. In Jesus' name, amen.